morning. You guys hear me out there all right? This means yes and this means no. So can you hear me out there okay? All right. Well, we're glad to have all of you with us this morning. I hope you got some of that rain last night. We got 1 4 tenths at the house. We were really needing that. Yeah. We're going to talk about worship for the next couple of weeks. When you say the word worship, it brings all kinds of pictures to our mind. The song service today, you know, we call that a worship service. When we come here corporately and collectively together to hopefully to thank God and to praise Him for who He is in our lives and what He's done. But worship is deeper than that. And we're going to start today in a passage in Exodus. And we're going to talk about the fact that the Jews received some good news, and it said they worshiped. But it seemed like that didn't last too long. And I'm not pointing these people out because it happens with all of us. I think there's some good lessons we can learn over the next couple of weeks about what worship is and what it isn't. And how God wants us to worship Him. The text this morning is from Exodus chapter 4, verses 27 through 31. We have the word on the wall. I preach out of the English Standard Version, and this way we're all reading from the same translation. The Lord said to Aaron, "Go into the wilderness to meet Moses." So he went and met him at the mountain of God and kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord with which he had sent him to speak, and all the signs that he had commanded him to do. Then Moses and Aaron went together to gather all the elders of the people of Israel. Aaron spoke all the words that the Lord had spoken to Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the people of Israel, and that He had seen their affliction, they bowed their heads and worshiped. Father, I thank You for Your word that never comes back to You empty. It always accomplishes what You send it out to do. Father, I ask this morning that You encourage us, that You open our hearts to better understand what worship is. Father, that from this story recorded in Your scriptures, we will get encouragement, and that we will grow closer to You and come to know You more fully. That was Your prayer, Lord, that we would know the Father and know You, because this is eternal life. And Lord, I thank You for our guests today. I pray that if any here today do not know You, if they have not ever obeyed You and called out upon Your name, that this would be a day of salvation. If there's anyone away from You today, Lord, who's wandered from the truth, I pray this will be a day that they'll be converted and pulled back into the truth, and that a multitude of sins might be forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I picked up right at the end of a conversation, and God told Moses, "I want you to go tell the elders of Israel, give them this message for me." And, of course, we know the story. Moses argued and said, "Who am I? Get somebody else." And God wouldn't see it. God said, "No, you're the one I've called, and you're going to do it." And what I want to talk about at first is, what was it God said to tell the elders? Because where I brought you in at, all you got is they got this message, but what did God say? And if you're familiar with the story, Moses was tending his father-in-law's sheep, and he was at the backside of Mount Horeb, also called Sinai. Even then it was called the Mountain of God. And Moses saw a bush burning, but it wasn't consumed. So he said, "Well, I want to look at that." And he went to look at it, and it said the angel of the Lord spoke to him out of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." He said, "Here I am." He said, "Don't come any closer and take your sandals off. The place you're standing on is holy ground." And God introduced himself. He said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Well, that stopped Moses right dead in his tracks. And he said he was afraid to look. So he looked away. And after God had introduced himself to him, he told him why he was there, why he was coming to talk to Moses. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their suffering. Dr. Clark translated this very eloquently. He said that God said, in essence, Moses, my eye has seen the affliction of my people, and what my eyes have seen has affected my heart. So God is saying, my heart was yearning. I know they're being suffering terribly in this bondage. So he says, I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good land, broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. So God introduces himself to Moses. Moses had heard about God all of his life. Now he meets him. And after the introduction, God said, I've seen what's going on. I've remembered my covenant, and I'm coming down to deliver them. That's good news. They've been slaves in Egypt for 400 years. They've been treated very cruelly, but they always had the hope of the deliverer. Even the Egyptian pharaohs had heard of the Jewish mythology of the deliverer. And at the time Moses was born, that pharaoh declared that every male child born would be thrown into the River Nile, much like Herod did when Jesus was born. He thought, well, I'll stop this deliverer thing. Well, you can't fight God. You can, but you're not going to win. And when Moses got the good news, the Lord said, and I want you to come down to Egypt. I like the way the English Standard words that. It doesn't say, you go. God said, you come with me. I want you to come with me to Egypt. And you're going to tell Pharaoh, I want him to let my people go. And Moses does what we all do. He starts thinking immediately, do I have the ability to do this? And his conclusion is, no, I do not. And Moses said, who am I? Little humility. Who am I to go? And God goes, I'll go with you. Now, that should take care of the argument, but it doesn't. Moses is still thinking in the flesh. Still thinking, Lord, I'm getting a little long in the tooth to go to Egypt. I'm 80 years old. 40 years ago, I was ready to do this. You remember when I killed that Egyptian? And I knew that you were going to use me to deliver them, and you blew your chance, God. And I've been here as a shepherd for 40 years, and I'm too old to go to Egypt. And God said, but I'll go with you. It'd been different if God would have said, Moses, I want you to go to Egypt, and you tell Pharaoh to let my people go, and you figure out the best way it can be done. You figure out if you can march 600,000 men plus women and children across the desert. You figure out how they're going to eat and drink. You figure out where they're going to sleep. You figure out if they can be protected from their enemies or not. You figure out if you're going to be able to get them into Canaan. God doesn't do that because it wasn't Moses' plan, it was God's. In church, when God speaks to his church today, things hasn't changed. It's his idea, not ours. And like Moses, we go, well, God, we just don't know that we're equipped to do that. Have you seen our books, Lord? You see how much money we don't have? Oh, stepping out on faith's a fine thing, Lord, but we don't want to be fools. Sound familiar? Moses said, well, I'm not a very good speaker. I have an impediment. God said, who made your mouth? Well, you did. then I'll teach you what to say. No, that's not good enough. Moses says, no. He starts laying out these excuses. You know what, flat out, the answer was? He didn't want to go. I think it had been more honest if he said, look, I don't want to do it, okay? But he doesn't. Well, I don't want to tell God no. You ever do that? Be talking to God and you're thinking of a nice way to say no or to get out of something he's telling you to do. And it's like, you know, who are you talking to, man? I was praying one time and I was kind of upset. And this thought would come to mind. I said, no, I'm not going to say that. So I'd pray something else. Then this other, well, I don't want to say that. And the Lord finally broke in and said, who do you think you're talking to? I hear your heart. You can't hide anything from me. Well, I know. In theory, I know. But I still think sometimes that I can, you know. And Moses was, he was doing this with God. He just saying, I don't want to go, man. Man, that's my addition. Okay. And God said, you know, basically he says, I'm not asking you if you want to go. I'm telling you that you need to go, and I'll go with you. And Moses is laying out these excuses. And he said, what's your name? You know, if I go down there and tell the Hebrews that your God has sent me to you to bring you out of Egypt, they're going to say, what's his name? God said, all right, I am who I am. Tell them I am has sent you. Oh, that helps. I am who I am. I love that name. Meditate on that sometime for a while. I am. No beginning. No end. God sees. We talk about past, present, future. God sees. Dr. Clark said this can be translated also, I will be who I will be. And that the implication to Moses here is the God that I have been to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I will be to you, and I will be to my people. We love to read the Word, and I like the prophets, and you think about the blessedness of the prophets, as the Scriptures say. But we tend to put them on a little higher plane than we are. I remember the first time I read in James when he said Elijah was a man just like us. And I said, man, I never called fire down from heaven. I never prayed and it quit raining for 3.5 years. Well, the Lord told me Elijah didn't do that. I did. Elijah was just there and he did what I told him to do. I'm the one that sent fire down from heaven. I'm the one who closed the heavens off so they wouldn't rain. So Elijah was a guy just like you. God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Well, that was weak. Amen. I hope. Maybe. That's what I've heard. Huh? Does God use ordinary people? All right. Can He use you? Remember you said that. Yeah. He does. Exactly. I've told people more than once, I know God's in control, but it'd be nice if He'd let me in on it once in a while what the plan is. I mean, I'm going on You're in control. But if you say, well, what's the plan? I'm not sure. Okay. He said, well, I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel. The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. Remember, what I'm doing is I'm bringing us up to speed on what God has told Moses to tell the elders. Why does he keep saying the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, or Israel? Because that's his covenant name. All the way back in Genesis, God had already made a covenant with a man named Abraham. And early on in this relationship, God told Abraham, I'm going to give this land to your descendants. And Abraham said, God, so far you've just been talk. I don't have any descendants. How do I know that I'll have them? And God said, get me a heifer, a ram, a turtle dove, and there's one I'm missing. Anyway, he said, split them in the middle, lay the parts one on each side. That was a covenant ritual that the men in Abraham's day went through. They would slaughter the animals. They would lay them preferably on bedrock. They would half the animal, lay a half on each side. The men would take their sandals off. And as they walked through the blood, they would say, may my blood be shed like this if I don't keep my covenant. And it said Abraham sat there until sundown, and a great darkness fell over them, and a torch passed between the pieces. And God said, know this of a truth, your seed will be evil and treated in the land for 400 years, but then I will bring them out. God walked through the blood. He said, this is how you know, Abraham, if I don't do what I say, may my blood be shed. So this should have carried weight with the Israelites. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of covenant. Berith. To cut. That's literally what a covenant is in Hebrew. Berith. To cut. The shedding of blood was made. The God who walked through the blood has sent me to tell you that he's going to fulfill the promise he made to our father Abraham and to our father Isaac and to our father Jacob. That's very important to realize. In the West, we don't have the covenant mindset they do in the East. They still have it today. We don't. We have contracts and more lawyers than you can shake a stick at, and loopholes and things to get out of. But at that time, covenants were ratified in blood, and they were serious. And he said, I want you to go tell the people that the God of the covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, of whom you are descendants, so therefore you're in this covenant. They had circumcision. God gave circumcision to Abraham not to make him righteous, but because of the righteousness of the faith he already had. That's something the Jews lost. They thought, well, they had the law and circumcision, that made him righteous, and it didn't. It was Abraham's faith that made him righteous. And without faith, you cannot please God. And God is approaching Israel and saying, I'm God, I'm the one that made this covenant, and I've come down here to keep my promise. I'm getting you out of there. He said, now I want you to go tell them that. And we see the response. Moses, he argued and said, I'm not a good talker. And God finally got irritated and said, well, Aaron's a good talker. You talk to Aaron and he can talk to them. So that took Moses' excuse away. What are you going to say? You know, well, me and Aaron haven't spoken in years. I don't even know if he's still alive. In fact, God said, in fact, he's coming to meet you. And then I love it. You get a little further ahead, Aaron's still in Egypt, and God said, I want you to get up and go meet Moses out here at the mountain of God. Okay. So he gets up and goes out there to meet him. Well, Moses tells God, Aaron, everything God's told him to tell him. I didn't talk about the signs, you know. He said, what's that in your hand? It was a shepherd's staff. He said, throw it down. It turned into a snake. Moses ran from it. I would too. And God said, now put your hand out and catch it by the tail. I noticed the other day, he didn't say by the head. You know, by the head's usually where you want to get a hold of a snake if you're going to try to pick one up. But he said, grab it by the tail, turned into a stick again, and put your hand in your claw, in your robe, and when he pulled it out, it was leprous. Put it back in there, and when he pulled it out, it was okay. He said, if they won't believe that, then take some blood out of the Nile, pour it on, or water out of the Nile, pour it on the ground, it'll become blood. So Moses tells Aaron, this is what God told me to say. This is what God told me to do, and you're going to say it for me. And Aaron goes, cool. So they turn around and they go back to Egypt. This is where we've come in. They give the message to the elders, and it says they believed them. And they worshiped. Now, I want to bring this home to you. They bowed their heads. Dr. Clark said, any time it speaks of them worshiping in this manner, there is a stance, a certain stance of worship. Most of the time, the Jews prayed looking up with their hands spread open. All right? Jesus prayed that way. And looking up to heaven, you know, Jesus prayed that way. But in circumstances like this, when it says they bowed, and I'm not going to demonstrate it because there ain't enough men here to get me back up on my feet, but they would go to their knees. They would put their face on their knees, and that they would touch the ground with their forehead, and then they would prostrate themselves on the ground, fully stretched out, with their mouth and their nose in the dirt. That was a sign of abject humiliation. These men were touched. Oh, man. 400 years of slavery is coming to an end. God, the God of covenant, has remembered His promises. Now, God told Moses, when you go talk to Pharaoh, I know him. And he's going to say no. He said, in fact, he's not going to let you go till I compel him with a mighty hand. Moses told the elders this. If he told them everything God said, he told them this. Well, they're elated. I mean, they fall on their faces and worship God. Dr. Clark said it's the same picture of the leper who worshiped Jesus. And Luke said he fell on his face. Jesus was not God. Well, then he was a false teacher because he allowed people to worship him like God. The blind man he healed said he fell at his feet and worshiped and said, Lord. That word Lord is from the Hebrew word Yahweh. God. Yeah. All right, I got sidetracked. They fell on their face and they worshiped. When did they think deliverance was going to be, do you think? Huh? Go ahead. Right off the bat, immediately. God said, we're going, honey, go home, pack the bags, get the kids, we're leaving. Moses still had to go check it out with Pharaoh. Now, this isn't in the text. I'm just shooting ahead. We're talking about worship. They worship. That's good. They needed to thank God for what He had promised. This pleases the Lord. They're on their faces worshiping. They're saying, we believe you. And God says, great. Now go talk to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh goes, well, who's your God? I ain't never heard of him. He said, in fact, you guys are too idle. Want to go worship your God. Moses said, please let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness so we can offer sacrifices. And Pharaoh goes, no. He said, you know what your problem is? You got too much time on your hands. So, you guys go out and make bricks without straw. You got to go gather your own straw, but you can't lose the tally of bricks. You have to make your number, daily number, every day. You have to meet that quota. Well, nobody's going to be able to do that. Pharaoh was a cruel man. And the foremen are told by the taskmasters, Pharaoh said you're too idle. That's why you want to go worship. So now you're going to go out and get straw wherever you can get it and make bricks And you better make your quota. Well, they didn't make their quota, so the foremans were beaten. And they go to Pharaoh and they go, hey, this ain't right. We can't make straws without, or bricks without straw. And Pharaoh said, no, you're idle. Get back to work. And Moses and Aaron are waiting outside to see Pharaoh again. And these guys come out and it says they met Moses and Aaron who were waiting for them. They came out from Pharaoh and they said to them, the Lord look on you and judge, because you have made us stink in the sight of Pharaoh. Stink in the sight? Yeah, okay. In the sight of Pharaoh and his servants, and have put a sword in their hand to kill us. What happened to the worship? It didn't happen like that. Yeah, they forgot. Then Moses turned to the Lord and said, why have you done this evil to this people? Why did you ever send me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he's done evil to this people. And you have not delivered your people at all. Now, would you care to guess what part of that discourse they forgot? When they fell down and worshiped him, there was a piece they forgot. God said, Pharaoh will not listen. That's not what we heard. We heard deliverance, immediate and now. My wife's at home packing our suitcase. What's up, God? I thought you was God. That's where the old devil will jump in there and say, I thought your God was all powerful. You made us stink in the eyes of Pharaoh. I never caught that before. Stink's done with the nose. But you made us stink in the sight of Pharaoh. You've put a sword in his hand. God judged between you and us. So the people go, Moses! And Moses goes, God! When things run south, we shoot off at the mouth. Yeah. This isn't going the way you said it was going to go. Moses said, why did you even bring me down here? And he's probably thinking, didn't I tell you just to leave me alone? I was happy watching sheep. And now you got me here between a rock and a hard place. You said you came down to deliver us. Is this what you call deliverance? You're a covenant God. I thought because you were a covenant God, when you said something, it happened. Well, it does. Does it happen immediately? It's in His time, not ours. Okay? Now, I want to close with this part of chapter 6 that really moved me this week. Moses says, God, what have you done? And boy, it's like God pushes his sleeves up and says, now watch. Pharaoh wants to know who I am. I'm going to show Pharaoh who I am. He reiterates what he said to Moses at the beginning, and he gives 7 I wills. God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. That's Yahweh. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they lived as sojourners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the people of Israel, whom the Egyptians hold as slaves, and I have remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord. I love that. Yeah, Moses goes, God! And God said, hey, I am the Lord. I made a covenant with Abraham and Jacob. Isaac and Jacob. I came here to deliver them. You tell them that. I am the Lord. What more explanation do you need? And we still in the church today, we talk about the sovereignty of God and we know He's in control, but we're just like Moses and Israel. When it doesn't happen immediately, we start complaining. We start accusing God unjustly of not caring. Don't you know who I am, Lord? I'm an elder in the church. I teach Sunday school. I do this, I do that. You know, I'm not like him other knotheads out there. I shouldn't have any trouble. I tell these people I'm dealing with in the counseling, the drug counseling, anybody tells you being a Christian is easy as blowing smoke at you. They're trying to sell you something. Don't pay any attention to that. We try to soft pedal the word now in the church. We make it user friendly. Let's not say sin. That might offend them. Let's not talk about the blood. That's offensive to people. Let's call it a mistake. I haven't read anywhere in the Scripture where it said Christ came to save me from my mistakes, but He did come to save me from sin. Sin will separate you from God. It'll cut you off. God said to Israel, my arm isn't too short to save you. It's your sins that separate you. Your willful acts against me that separate you from me. What sin are they in right now? One word describes it. Unbelief. Well, Pharaoh said no. I guess that kills that idea. Well, God, it was a nice thought. You might as well go back into heaven and we'll go down here and get back to work. And boy, God, He flares up and says, uh-uh. He let Pharaoh say no, and it showed Israel what was in them. A lot of unbelief. Well, it just didn't happen the way we thought it would. Dr. James Dobson wrote a book I read several years back called When God Doesn't Make Sense. And I'd recommend it to you. It's a good book. And God gives Moses seven I wills. And we're going to close with this. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will deliver you from slavery to them. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. I will take you to be my people. I will be your God. I will bring you into the land that I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord. He's still a God of covenant. We're in the new covenant. The covenant spoken of in Jeremiah. I will put my spirit within them, and they shall be my God, my people. I'll be their God. And no longer will a man teach his neighbor, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest. And yet, a better covenant, better sacrifices, better promises, and we still balk like the people of Israel. Well, God, people just don't want to hear the gospel anymore, so we're not out sharing it. We're trying to make our churches conducive to a lot of different people where maybe they'll come in and hopefully the preacher will preach on salvation that day as long as he doesn't get too harsh on the subject because we don't like being called sinners, you know. My short but brilliant military career, I was taught, you always followed the last order in the field. The last order our general, our commander-in-chief gave to us was go into the world. Yeah, but God, you don't know how people are today. They won't listen to me. I'll go with you. I don't know if you will or not. What if I die? Well, then you'll go to heaven if you're a child of God. I'll tell you what, and this is the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. In reading this, I've been so blessed this week to read this over and over and over. God said, I said I would do this and I will. And this is still the same today. I'll go with you to the end of the world, Jesus said. I won't leave you alone. Nowhere does he say, you'll walk on a path of rose petals, never have any trouble with anyone. Everybody will just love you when you tell them that they need a Savior. They'll put their arms around you and get a big old sloppy kiss right on the face. You know, it doesn't say that. Jesus said your enemies could be those in your own house. He said you'll be hated. I've told the Lord more than once, you don't make a very good recruitment poster, you know. Come follow me, and your own family might turn their back on you. Your children might denounce you. Your wife might walk away. Your husband might walk away. I talked to a minister years ago that was an evangelist. He said, my wife told me one day, I'm getting tired of you being on the road all the time preaching. It's me or the ministry. So he said, I chose her. He said, 2 years later, she left me. Well, I don't know what to tell you. Other than Jesus said things like that are going to happen. Yeah. I love it. The people said, Moses, and Moses said, God, and we're going to see through the course of time, this happens a lot. And the Lord said, I am the Lord. He doesn't change. Yeah, he was saying, Moses, I'm the same God that did this for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I said I was going to do it for you, and I will. Do you believe that? Amen. But I struggle with it. It's easy to believe when you're on the mountain and everything's going good and you got money in the bank and your kids are all getting along with you and, you know, everybody in church is just loving one another and getting along. It's easy to say, oh, yeah. But it's when you get off that peak there and everything's going to hell in a handbasket, you're going, what is going on? God! God goes, I'm still God, but I want to be back up here. God said, I can't use you up here. You need to be down here. Because it's down in the valleys when we learn. We learn to depend on Him. Yeah, that's when we learn to depend on God. If He gave us every little whim and want we wanted, we'd be so stinking spoiled we couldn't stand to be around each other. Yeah. God isn't wanting to raise a bunch of spoiled brats. He's wanting men and women who will allow Him to mold them into the image of Jesus Christ. Do you know this world needs Jesus Christ? Yeah. And we'll say that, and I'm sure we're praying. Well, here's an idea. Instead of saying, God, how about instead of me sending my money this time, how about I go? Ooh, that's a little different. I can see the look on your faces just... He quit preaching and went to meddling. Jesus Christ wants your hands to be His hands. He wants your feet to be His feet. He wants your mouth to be His mouth. He wants your money to be His money. Well, you just lost me, dude. I was with you right to that point. Why is it when we get to those points, if you guys would quit interrupting me, we'd get done quicker. It's exactly. It's His money. He gives it to us. I caught this one day. I know preachers are liars. You said you were winding up 15 minutes ago. Jesus said when the Spirit comes, He will convict the world of sin, judgment, and righteousness. And I always had this idea of this aloofness to speak, that the Spirit would go around and just touch people. And they go, ooh, that's not what the Lord meant. He meant through His church, through His vessels. When we are full of the Spirit, we're the vessels that He chooses to use. We are the ones who convict the world of sin, judgment, and righteousness by the office of the Holy Spirit living within us. But in order for that to happen, we have to be submissive and obedient and fearless. We have to be able to plant our feet and say, this is what the Lord says. We're going to be talking about worship, what it is and what it isn't. This style of worship, this form right here, did you see how quickly it fell apart? And we'll come to church and we'll sing hymns and praises and we'll pray and we'll have communion and we do the liturgical part of worship, you know. And then we go out into the world and we're not worshiping. We're back here with the Jews. God, what are you doing? If this is the way you're going to do it, I'm going to take my ball and bat and go home. I'm not going to play anymore. I thought being a Christian was supposed to be easy. See, that's worshiping with your mouth, not with your heart. True worship is when you continue to worship in an attitude of worship, no matter what you're going through. You're not looking at the situation around you. You're looking to the one that you're in this covenant with. He fulfills His word. Would you stand with me this morning, please? What a God we serve. I am in a relationship with a covenant God, and I tell you this with all the confidence that I have. I know that the one who started a good work in my life will finish it. He will bring it to completion. I am going to be the man that He wants me to be, and one day He's going to call me home. And I don't fear that day. I actually look forward to it. Can you say that this morning? Yeah. Do you know that God will do exactly what He says? Yeah. Is this name it and claim it? No. But this is having the common sense enough to say, read the Word and see what He has to say. If you're here this morning and you've never called on the name of the Lord, today's a good day for salvation. Don't resist the Holy Spirit. Whatever He's telling you to do today, if you're away from the Lord, if you're struggling with unbelief, settle it right now, right here and now. Tell God, You are my covenant God. You will deliver me. You will bring me to where You want me to be. That's not being presumptuous. That is speaking to God in faith about what He's already said. You're just agreeing with Him. Whatever it is you need to do, I ask that you would do it as we sing the song of invitation.
Yeah.
called me last night. I know some of you have been wondering, maybe. Hank had a stress test and I think an electrocardiogram, and the doctor said his heart's fine, so that's not the problem. They sent him home. They want him to see a pulmonary specialist and some others because of the other symptoms that he's having. So keep them in your prayers. He was very relieved to find out it wasn't a heart. I don't have any other written requests before me. Or Wayne? So, be in prayer for this lady that Wayne's mentioned. Also want to thank the Lord that Dot wasn't hurt seriously yesterday in that NVA. Those can go either way real quick, so we're very happy that God saw fit to spare. Anything else before we close? Brother Deming, would you close for us in prayer, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly ask of you today, as we leave the safety of this gathering, as we venture out into the world as you've commanded us to do, we humbly ask for your grace and your mercy and your strengths to guide people to you and to draw people to the cross and to glorify you in every way and in everything that we do and everything that we say, so that we may bring glory to you and focus to the Son and the sacrifice that he's made for us. But we pray for the strength as we venture from the safety of this fellowship and the friendship and the love that we have here in this building as we enter our accuser's realm outside these walls, as we face people, strangers, loved ones, and try and draw them nearer to you. We pray for your mercy and your grace and your strength that we may do this in a manner that would glorify you. And we pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
What are you teaching tonight, Dr. Mark?
1 Peter 4.
1 Peter 4, so come back at 6 tonight if you can.